Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Captain Serrano, Sweet Delight.
Station Tug 34, permission to grapple.
Permission to grapple.
All fast, on your signal.
Captain Serrano of Sweet Delight, permission to undock on your signal.
All clear on station. Confirm all clear aboard.
All clear aboard.
Graphic Audio presents The Serrano Legacy by Elizabeth Moon. Book 2, Sporting Chance, Part 1. Narrated by Nanette Savard. With performances by Colleen Delaney, Sonny Lasky, Andy Clements, David Coyne, M.B. Van Dorn, Elizabeth Demery, Ken Jackson, Peter Stray, Christopher Graybill, Lily Beacon, Karen Carbone, Michael John Casey, Dylan Lynch, Terrence Aselford, James Lewis, Richard Rowan, Eric Messner, and Maud Shelby.
Of course, there is a minor problem.
Lady Cecilia turned to allow her maid to take her stall. A brisk wind tossed cold rain at the windows.
Yes?
Harris Serrano eyed her employer with some suspicion. The words minor problem had become an all too frequent catchphrase between them. She resented the niggling delays that prevented their departure. They should have been in space already, 2 days out on the voyage back to Rockhouse Major. She had begun to long for the ship and space. Besides, the sooner they got to Rockhouse, the sooner that young troublemaker the Prince would be off her hands, someone else's responsibility.
It's our numbers again.
Lady Cecilia waved her maid away and settled herself into a comfortable chair drawn up before a fireplace with a small fire of real wood behind an ornate fire screen. Harris settled in the chair opposite and raised her brows.
I thought we'd be fine, since Bunny's children wouldn't be coming, nor Buttons's fiancée. George is still in hospital, mostly for legal reasons, and I thought I could leave Raffaella and Ronnie here for the rest of the season under the circumstances.
Harris's mind busily subtracted the volume and resources needed for those 6 young people and their servants, and the crew and staff she knew were quitting, and added the same for new crew and the 1 passenger she knew of. Lady Cecilia ran 1 long hand through her short hair and left it standing up in peaks.
But that won't work.
Why not?
Reasons of state, so I was told. I nearly cancelled my invitation, but that might be embarrassing too, so... The Crown Minister insists that if I have the young Mr. Smith aboard, I must have an adequate bodyguard, a cabinet-level minister, and of course the servants... And Ronnie.
Ronnie? Why?
Someone had made a serious mistake. The whole point of bringing Cecilia's nephew Ronnie here in the first place had been to keep him away from the prince.
I'm not sure, but it was one of the points made very firmly. When I added the numbers, it came to 56. That's over our limit, right?
Yes, but how many bodyguards are we supposed to have, and who are they?
They want to send royal security.
Damn.
And they want us to wait until they get here, on the ship, with the prince.
That last went without saying, since he could not be trusted to stay out of trouble anywhere else.
And you plan to go where?
Well, we have to go back to Rockhouse to take him home. But after that, I'd planned on Zenebra, the Huerin horse trials.
By now, Harris knew enough to recognize that name. Of course, her horse-crazy employer would want to be there. She had won Huerin more times than anyone else.
Ah, and waiting for the Royal Security Bodyguard would make us late for that, I'll bet. It's silly. We've got former regular Space Service combat troops and suitable arms now. We can take care of him.
Are you sure?
With Petrus and Oblo, we could keep him safe in a small war.
Don't say that. It's like saying your horse can't possibly miss a fence.
Still, we'd be safer to leave now. I haven't forgotten that smugglers were using your ship. Somewhere there's a very unhappy criminal waiting for delivery of whatever was in the scrubber. And I'd expect the smugglers to come looking for us eventually. It's not as if we'd be hard to find. Everyone knew where you're going from Takaman Roads, and we filed the trip to Rockhouse in Bunny's computer, and with the Crown Minister.
Good point. I'll mention that to the Crown Minister, and of course, he already has the names of your crew. I assume that until the courts martial, they were all considered loyal servants of the Crown?
As far as I know, if they weren't, they could have lost us some battles.
Fine, then. You set up our departure as you wish. I'll deal with the political end later.
Harris looked after her employer and shook her head. She had not expected Cecilia, who had seemed to have a one-track mind firmly aimed at horses, to be so effective politically. Of course, she came from a political family, but every family had its black sheep. Harris shivered suddenly. She was, in her own way, the black sheep of her family. In the flurry of preparation, it was hard to remember the last few days with Petrus. He was now aboard, supervising the resupply, and, at Harris's suggestion, tucking away the new weaponry before Cecilia decided they didn't need it.
Nothing for the ship, I notice.
No, not stocked locally. I know, I've already talked to Lady Cecilia about it.
Crew rotations?
Well, you'll all be on your secondary specialties. We'll have to reorganize quite a bit. Civilian regulations divide the responsibilities a bit differently. There's a manual on it.
I found that one. But I haven't had the returning crew list from Hospitality Bay yet. Sirkin's the only one staying from the shift up here. You were right, by the way. She's a nice girl, very competent.
I'm glad you agree. About that crew list, it was supposed to have been there yesterday. I wonder what's going on. I'll find out.
When she tried calling the crew hostel at Hospitality Bay, none of her crew answered. That seemed odd. She had sent word several days before that they would be leaving Cerealis shortly. Someone should have been there, ready to take any messages from her. She wished she could dump the whole lot of them and replace them with qualified people. She left an urgent message and asked the hostel clerk when they were expected back.
Sometime tonight, I suspect, ma'am. They rented a cat and took it out to Shell Island.
Without a comm unit aboard?
Well, there is one, but the charge to relay is pretty high. Mr. Gavin said you might call, and to say they'd be back tonight.
Tell Mr. Gavin to call here as soon as he gets in, whatever the hour.
Gavin's call was relayed to her in the drawing room the green hunt favored. On the tiny screen of the drawing room communications niche, he looked sunburnt and nervous.
I'm not coming back, Captain. You'll have to find another chief engineer.
And the others?
They don't want to... They're not coming back either. Not without Lady Cecilia changing... No, I mean they're not coming back.
Harris was suddenly conscious of the need to control her expression in a room full of curious and intelligent observers.
Would you care to explain, Mr. Gavin?
Well, it's just, we don't want you for our captain. We're not coming back. You don't have a crew. We want to talk to Lady Cecilia. She has to find someone else or we won't come back to her. The fact is, you're not fair. That's what it is. You got poor Eklund killed, and you're so rigid, and all you do is criticize, and you don't respect us.
It was so outrageous, so ridiculous, that Harris found herself fighting back a sudden, incongruous laugh, as well as a tirade.
I see you don't know the situation.
I don't, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happened. What you say, we're not coming back as long as you're the captain.
I see. Perhaps I'd better let you speak to Lady Cecilia.
Harris waved her employer over and stepped away from the comm unit out of its pickup range for a moment. In brief phrases, she explained Gavin's message and watched almost amused as Lady Cecilia went white with fury and then red.
Damn them!
No, think a moment. They're incompetent, lazy, and we wanted to get rid of them anyway. Now they're also in legal jeopardy, and you have the reins. They don't know what's happened over here. None of it. They don't know you have a crew already. Have fun, m'lady.
Harris grinned. And after a last glower, Lady Cecilia grinned too. She beckoned Harris to join her at the comm unit niche.
Mr. Gavin?
Now, Lady Cecilia, you must listen to me.
You listen to me, you incompetent, whining, malingering, self-serving son of a bitch.
Lady Cecilia continued with a description of his progeny, his intellect, and his probable destination. Harris decided that fox hunting offered unique opportunities for invective, and found her own anger draining away as Cecilia continued her tirade.
And I shall certainly file suits for breach of contract, and I dare say Lord Thornbuckle will be investigating you to see if you're involved in this other affair.
But Lady Cecilia, what other affair? And why, we've served you for so long.
How was that?
Fine. And since we know you had one smuggler in the group, I would carry through on that threat and have them investigated.
I certainly will.
Cecilia stalked off, her tall angularity expressing indignation with every twitch of her formal skirt. Harris excused herself early and went upstairs to contact Petrus again.
So, we're going out short-crewed, by civilian standards, that is, and over-crewed on the house staff side, considering Lady Cecilia's guests this round.
The prince had his own set of servants, and Cecilia insisted on adding another cook. Petrus had worked up a crew rotation.
That looks adequate to me, Captain. We could use two or three more, but...
But you're right, this is adequate. If we don't run into trouble, and if everyone works at fleet efficiency, which I expect you will. Something to consider is that we can hire replacements to fill out the list at Rockhouse Major, and we might think of hiring ex-fleet personnel while we're about it.
Are you looking for trouble, Captain?
No, but I expect it anyway. Oh, that'll be Bunny's daughter, Bubbles. She insisted on talking to me.
What, do you think she wants to come along?
Yes, and I can't let her. And I don't like the role she's casting me in.
You'll do her no harm.
That's what her father told me. I'll get back to you shortly.
The blonde girl she'd first seen passed out drunk on a couch in the yacht had changed beyond recognition. And although being in mortal danger changed most people, this was exceptional. She stood stiffly, as if in a parody of military formality.
Captain Serrano.
Yes, do come in. We had a small crisis aboard, and I was just dealing with it.
If this is a bad time...
Not at all. Between crises is an excellent time.
Harris led the way to a pair of overstuffed chairs beneath the long windows, and gestured as she sat in one of them.
Have a seat.
The girl sat bolt upright, not her usual posture, and looked like a young officer at a first formal dinner.
I want to change my name.
Harris blinked. She would never have allowed herself to be called Bubbles in the first place, and she could understand why the girl would want to change, but surely there was more to it.
Bubbles doesn't really fit you.
No, not now. My full name is Brunhilde Charlotte, and Rafa and I thought Brun would be a good version, but that's not the whole problem.
Oh?
No. My parents are willing to give up Bubbles, though Mother would prefer some other variation. But it's the other part.
Harris sat and waited. Youngsters usually told you more if you did.
It's the family name. I haven't told them yet, but I know they won't like it.
They would more than not like it if she wanted to give up her family name. They would, Harris suspected, be furious and hurt.
It's just that I've always been Bubbles. Bunny's daughter, Lord Thornbuckle's daughter, and not myself. I feel different now. When we were in the cave, I realized I didn't feel like who I was. I felt different, and it didn't match. I want to change my name and go into the regular space service and learn how to really do things and find out who I am.
Harris blinked again, remembering her own impulse, quickly squashed, to change her name and apply to the Academy not as a Serrano, but purely on her own merits. She had even made up a name and practiced the signature. The silly romanticism of youth, or, if you looked at it another way, the integrity and courage.
And you thought I could help you?
Yes. You know how things work. And you could take me to some place I could enlist.
Now the problem was how to say no without shutting the girl off completely.
How old are you? And what kind of background would you offer the fleet?
Harris already suspected the answers. Brunn was too old to enlist with the skills she could reasonably claim. Having been taught marksmanship by her father didn't count, even if he was a renowned hunter. And lacking any education, the fleet would recognize. At least, under an assumed name.
Which will get you in trouble anyway. After all, plenty of people the fleet doesn't want would like to get in. Falsifying one's identity is fairly common, and nearly always detected. And when detected, is always justification for rejection.
But I thought that if I explained that I just don't want to use my father's privilege...
To whom would you explain? A recruiting officer? He'd assume you were either crazy or trying to impersonate a member of your father's family. You cannot sneak into the fleet that way. Not with our methods of certifying identity. You'd do better if you're intent on a dangerous military career to travel as a tourist outside the Familius Regnant and take service with some planetary ruler. Don't try to be fancy. Just say you're running away from family problems. Someplace like Athar's World or the Compassionate Hand would probably hire you.
But Athar's World is all those hulks, isn't it?
Harris had thought that would get a reaction.
Soldiers can't afford prejudice. Athar's World always needs soldiers. Admittedly, that's because the Fatherland uses them up in bloody and unnecessary battles, but they do give you a glorious funeral, I hear. And yes, they're all big-boned and fair-haired. One reason they might hire you. And they have anachronistic ideas about warrior women. Another reason they might hire you. But they do pay on time, if you survive.
And the Compassionate Hand?
Not an accurate name, but you don't want to call them the Black Scratch unless you've got a battle group behind you. A large battle group. You may not have heard of them. The Familius discourages trade that way. We have a border incident every few years, though. They would like to control Carius and the nearby jump points.
Black Scratch? Compassionate Hand?
Well, you do know about protection rackets, don't you?
Brunn nodded, but still looked puzzled.
The motto of the families that settled Chorus 4A was, "You scratch my back and I'll scratch yours." They referred to this as being a compassionate hand, a helping hand. But the first colony they raided on Chorus 5 called it the Black Scratch. Now they control the Chorus system with heavy influence in two nearby systems, and their official designation is the Benignity of the Compassionate Hand. They hire off-worlders for mercenary actions, often against underground groups who still call them the Black Scratch.
But they're illegal.
Not by their laws, and they're not part of our legal system. Actually, if you're on an official visit, it looks like a model government. I've known a few people who have served in their military, said it wasn't bad if you followed the rules exactly, but they have no tolerance for dissent.
You're saying I can't really do what I was talking about. If my choices run to the barbarians of Athar's World or the Compassionate Hand...
There are others, but I'm not exactly sure what you're looking for. A military career? If so, leading to what? Coming back to your family someday or retiring on your own independent savings? How much adventure, otherwise known as danger, do you really want? Do you have something against your family which would prevent your adventuring within its canopy?
I suppose I want change. Change from what I was and from what people think of me. Lady Cecilia crossed her family, but she did use her own money.
Makes it easier. And there's no reason to do things the hard way if you don't have to.
I don't know what, really. I guess I just want to serve notice to my family, to others, that I'm not the bubblehead they think. That I'm not the designated blonde sure to marry someone like the odious George. And you're saying there are easier ways to do that than to get myself killed by barbarians with blonde braids or a knife in the ribs from the Compassionate Hand.
Yeah, I didn't say it. You did. I'd think you'd had enough adventure for a while. Although, if you liked that, there's training that would help you survive other adventures.
That's what I'd like. What bothered me most wasn't the danger, but not knowing what to do. But I thought you could only get that training in the military.
No. In fact, not everyone in the military does. There are other sources, if that's what you want. Tell you what, I'll give you a list of skills and places I know you can get training. And then you can find a use for that training. How about that?
I'd love it! Can't I come to Rockhouse with you? I already know about Mr. Smith, of course.
No, I'm sorry. We're overloaded with the required escorts for Mr. Smith. But if you're going back there, you can start to acquire some of the things I'm talking about.
Tell me, what sorts of things?
Well, the more you know about all the technology we use for transportation and communication, the better. Not just classroom theory, but practical stuff like being able to maintain and repair the equipment. Lady Cecilia's taken an interest in her yacht now, and she's finding it very helpful. I wish we had time for you to meet Brigdis Sirkin, my nav first. She's done it all by formal schooling, but she's taken every opportunity to expand her skills and knowledge on the job, too.
From the look on Brun's face, she wanted to be Brigdis Sirkin. Harris wondered if Sirkin would return the favor, if she imagined the opulence and privilege of Brun's background. Probably not. That very practical young woman was headed exactly where she wanted to go. Perhaps a narrow goal, but one she knew she could attain. Brun had so many choices, it must be hard to make them.
Do you like space travel?
Yes, but I don't know if I'd like to spend all my time in space. What I really liked, was thinking up elaborate pranks. But of course there's no place for that in the real world.
What kind of pranks?
Oh, you know, like when we were kids on that island and having mock wars. I got pretty good at ambushes. And at school, my first term, they never did figure out who had reprogrammed the water supply so that all the hot was cold, and vice versa. You know, silly stuff. Except about Lucianne. Keeping her away from Uncle when he came to visit was serious enough, but necessary.
In Harris's experience, the people who created interesting pranks for the prank's sake, not just to inconvenience people, often had good luck in real-life tactical situations. They just needed to be kept busy.
Tell you what, after we finish this mission, you might ask Lady Cecilia if she'd let you come along on a voyage or two. That's if you've been working on the things I'll list.
Yes, I will. And thanks.
The girl's father had asked her to give advice. It wasn't as if she was going behind anyone's back, but she still felt odd about it. She made a note to herself to come up with that list of skills and resources before they left. Their final head count came to 49. Harris had had to accept a couple of Bunny's militia and two crew from his personal yacht to satisfy the Crown Minister that the Prince would be traveling safely. When the Sweet Delight eased away from the peculiar, eye-twisting space station, it had its holds stuffed with supplies enough for a year-long voyage. Harris had had plenty of time to complete her list for Brun while waiting for the last luxuries to be ferried up from Cerealis. Once the ship was on its way out of the system, Harris released the Prince from his suite. She expected a tantrum, but the young man smiled at her and asked the way to the gym. Harris wondered why he hadn't looked it up on his desk comp, but perhaps princes didn't ever look things up for themselves. Dinner that first night surpassed anything Lady Cecilia's cook had produced on the voyage out. Cecilia wore her amber and ivory lace. Ronnie and the prince both appeared in semi-formal dress. Harris had to admit they were handsome, as decorative as young roosters. She preferred Ronnie, whose recent adventures seemed to have settled him a bit. The prince, she had not really been around him in the days of his captivity, and his brief appearance at the hunt dinner had given her no feel for his real personality. Now, at the dinner table, he looked the very picture of a prince, and yet she felt something missing. Aside from a hectic energy that emerged as one stale joke after another, the prince was, to put it plainly, boring. 4 days into the voyage back to Rockhouse, Ronnie asked for a private conversation with Harris and Cecilia. He looked earnest and worried.
Did you know the prince was stupid?
You are not going to start quarreling with him. I forbid it.
I'm not quarreling. It's not like that. But I just realized he's really stupid.
Perhaps you would care to explain that discourteous comment?
Ronnie settled into his chair, leaning forward, hands clasped tensely.
Well, that's why I'm here. I think something's wrong. We have to do something.
That is not an explanation. Please get to it.
Yes, all right. We haven't been in the same classes or anything for years, or I'm sure I'd have noticed. He's just not very smart.
Harris repressed a smile. She had never expected royalty to be overburdened with brains.
Probably he never was very smart. Children can't really tell about each other.
No, he was smart. He was. And now he's not. If I didn't know it was Gerald, I wouldn't believe it was the same person.
Cecilia sat up suddenly.
If you didn't know, how do you know it's the same person?
Well, of course it is. How could it be anyone else? He's too well known.
Now he is. But a child?
Gene types. It would be impossible to switch someone else. Surely he has annual physicals, and it could be checked so easily.
That's right. He's a registered embryo. And that's odd, too. Registered embryos are at least one sig above average IQ.
Harris looked at him. He turned red.
All right, we don't all act it, but we have the brains if we learn to use them. Gerald wasn't stupid in childhood, and he's near that now. Something's happened to him.
Harris had an unpleasant crawling sensation in her midsection. Something to make princes stupid. It had been done before, and never with good intent.
Someone must have noticed.
Some people wouldn't notice on principle. But his parents, surely. The king wasn't that dim the last time I chatted with him.
10 or 12 years ago, Gerald was just starting school outside the home for the first time. What if something happened there? Something that took a while to show up? We were only together for 3 or 4 years. Then they shifted him to Snow Bay, and I stayed at Fallow Hill.
The names meant nothing to Harris, but Cecilia nodded.
Or it could have started at Snow Bay. I remember there was some concern about sending him so far away to such a strict headmaster. But Nadril had gotten in all that trouble.
Harris blinked again. She knew, it had been her business to know, the names of the various members of the royal family. But she wasn't used to anyone calling them by first names. Nadril, the second son, had died when he eluded his security protection and got himself into a brawl with someone who didn't worry about the niceties of aristocratic dueling. Before that, he had been considerably wilder than the current prince. Ronnie looked at his hands.
I hadn't realized. I feel bad about it. It's sort of indecent. I mean, our quarrel when he's not like he was. Like the time George had that virus or whatever, and nearly flunked everything for a month. We started out teasing him, but it wasn't funny.
It's indecent that it happened, if you're right. The quarrel's beside the point, although I expect it influenced him.
Harris fought her way through Cecilia's logic in that, and by the time she had figured it out, both aunt and nephew were off on another tangent. Whom to tell, and how, and when.
Better not tell anyone. It's dangerous knowledge.
But I must. He's the only surviving prince. If his father doesn't know...
Then someone doesn't want him to know. Someone who will be glad to eliminate you. His father probably does know, after all, and I doubt very much he wants it widely recognized or talked about.
I'm not a gossip. Everyone knows that. It's not something I can ignore. If I do, and he knows, then he'll suspect... It will be worse than telling him.
But it's dangerous.
Harris's mind tickled her with something Ronnie had just said about George. George had had a month of being stupid? A virus? Or the same thing that affected the prince?
They need to know. Even if it's dangerous, it's more dangerous to have him like this unrecognized. Dangerous to everyone, not just to me. It can't be hidden much longer anyway. He's getting to an age where he'll be expected to take on some crown functions. The longer it's known, the sooner we can change our plans and adjust. If it's permanent, for instance, he can't take the throne later. Then there's the rejuvenant ageist split. This could change the balance in council.
But it'll be terribly embarrassing, Aunt Cecilia. Maybe Captain Serrano is right.
But Harris could tell from the stubborn set of Cecilia's jaw that they weren't getting anywhere. Maybe later. They were still a long way from Rockhouse. She could talk to Ronnie about George's experience in private. The ship itself functioned smoothly. Sirkin had looked startled the first time she heard Oblo say, "Aye, sir," to Harris, but she soon got used to the preponderance of military backgrounds. Harris thought it improved the tone a lot. It seemed a comfortable compromise between military formality and civilian casualness. Bunny's yacht crew, efficient enough, held themselves slightly aloof from Lady Cecilia's. She didn't mind, since they'd be going back to Bunny's from Rockhouse. Her relationship with Petrus, however, seemed as uneven as the fox hunting fields. She had understood the prohibition of relationships between commanders and their subordinates as preventing both sexual harassment of subordinates and favoritism. It had not occurred to her that there was any intrinsic problem with the relationship if both desired it. They had expected a pleasant evening in bed, and instead found themselves less interested in bed than talk.
I don't know. It's not the past, really. I've been crazy about you for a long time, and once I found a way... But on this ship...
It's the teal and lavender.
No, it's... How can I say this and not sound like a barbarian? It's the authority. Here, you're in charge. You have to be. And when we were back on that island, you weren't. You were hurting, and I could help. I had the choices to make.
An authority block.
I suppose. Except I've never resented your authority, you know. Not with the ship. It never has bothered me who captained a ship, so long as they were good at it. I knew early on I never would. Didn't really want to.
Didn't you?
No. Not all enlisted are lusting for command, you know. Commanders, maybe, but not command itself. It's damn scary. I can see that in your eyes. Maybe I feel that way here. It's scary because I'm stepping out of my role with the commander. It didn't bother me off the ship.
And it's not something I can command. Some do, I can't. How about we pretend this isn't the ship?
I'll try.
It seemed to be working.
Captain Serrano, there's something on the screen.
Damn.
Harris lunged across Petrus to answer it. By the time she'd been to the bridge, where the image on screen had vanished, and gotten back to her quarters, Petrus was gone. Harris didn't call him back. Later. There would be time enough later. Nothing had been settled, not about the prince, not about Petrus, when the Sweet Delight made its last jump. They came out of the anomalous status of jump space precisely where Sirkin had intended, for which Harris gave her a nod of approval. She wished Sirkin hadn't had a lover waiting at Rockhouse Major. She'd have liked to keep her as crew.
Somebody flicked our ID beacon. Stripped it clean and fast. RSS, I'd say. Remembering the other side.
We're not fugitive, and they'd be looking for the Sweet Delight, considering...
Wish we had better long scans and a decoder that could do the same. Feels all wrong to have someone stripping our beacon when we can't strip theirs.
Mass sensors show a lot of ships. And the delays are too long to tell me where they are now.
Well, that's what I meant. Now, in the fleet, we've got... Sorry, Captain. I'm used to being on the inside of security, not outside.
We'd all best be careful if we want to stay outside a prison and not inside.
The only bad thing about Sirkin, and Bunny's crew, was this tension between what the ex-military crew knew and what they weren't supposed to know and couldn't share with shipmates. It would have been easier if they'd all been her former crew members. She had sent off a message when they first dropped out of FTL, with the codes given them by the Crown Minister. Now the system's outer beacons blipped the first response.
Captain, Sweet Delight, proceed on RSS escort course.
Well, they're putting us down the dragon's throat, all right.
What?
Escort course is the fastest way in system. Eats power and makes a royal everyone in the whole system can pick up. Hardly what I'd call discreet. All other traffic gives way, and we're snagged by a tug that could stop a heavy cruiser in a counterbird maneuver. Plus, we go past the heavy guns and damn near every piece of surveillance between us and Rockhouse.
Harris glared at him, and Oblo actually flushed. He knew better, and she had already warned him. Sirkin wasn't military, never had been military. Wasn't ever going to be military, and he had no business explaining fleet procedure to her. But he had a thing for neat-framed, dark-haired girls, whether they liked men or not, and he had taken a liking to Sirkin. They were only halfway home, as Cecilia put it, when the escorts pulled up on either side. RSS, both of them. Harris got an exterior visual and grinned. She had once captained one of these stubby, peculiar-looking ships. Ridiculously overpowered, designed for fast maneuvers within a single system, their small crews prided themselves on flair. On distant campaigns, they traveled inside podships, even though they mounted FTL drives. The voicecom board lit. Harris flicked the lit buttons, and then a sequence which informed the caller that she had no secured channel.
Ahoy, Sweet Delight. RSS Escort Adrian Channel calling.
Captain Serrano, Sweet Delight.
You don't have any kind of secure comm?
At least that showed some discretion. Harris had been afraid they'd ask in clear if she had the Prince aboard.
Negative.
Well, we understand you have urgent need for priority docking at Rockhouse Major. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. The relevant enabling codes were in my initial transmission.
Yes, ma'am. Well, ma'am, we're here just to see you make a safe transit and chase any boneheaded civvy that doesn't listen to his traffic control updates out of your way. Our instruments show you on course.
Oblo scowled at that. With him on the board, there was no question of being off course. The counterburn maneuver, when it came, strained the resources of the Sweet Delight's artificial gravity. For one moment, Harris felt nausea, then her stomach ignored the odd sensations. Others were not so lucky. She saw a medic light go on in the Prince's stateroom and in the galley. Then the internal gravity stabilized again. The tug's grapple snagged the yacht's bustle, and Petrus shut down their drive. Far faster than a commercial tug, the RSS ship shoved them toward Rockhouse Major and put them in a zero relative motion less than 100 meters away from the docking bay. Visuals, boosted several magnifications, showed the royal seal above their assigned bay and the gleaming sides of a royal shuttle and a larger deep space yacht twice the size of Sweet Delight. Grapples shot out, homing on magnetic patches on the yacht's hull. These would stabilize but not change their inward drift under docking thrusters. Harris had always enjoyed docking maneuvers, and the chance to show off at a royal berth delighted her. She eased the yacht in with neither haste nor delay until the grapples were fully retracted and the hull snugged against the access ports. Until this moment, she had spoken with the Rockhouse Major Sector Landing Control, a professional exactly like any other landing control officer, and their exchanges were limited to the necessary details of bringing the yacht in. Now another channel lit on the board. Harris steadied herself. This would be a very different official, she was sure. And even after hours reading everything Cecilia's library had on royal protocol, she wasn't sure she would get it right. Once, she could have relied on the military equivalent.
Royal Security to the Captain of Sweet Delight.
Captain Serrano here.
We need to establish a secure communications link before your passengers debark. We'll need hardwire access. Open the CJ-145 exterior panel next to the cargo access, please.
For a moment, Harris was surprised that they knew which panel to use. But of course they would. The yacht was a standard design, built at a well-known yard. They'd had weeks to get all the specs.
Just a moment, please.
She nodded at Oblo, who put the relevant circuits up on a screen and cut out all but the communications input. No reason to give them easy access to Cecilia's entire system, just in case they were of a mind to strip that, too. When he grinned at her, she popped the latch and waited while security set the link up. And after all that, the formalities were no different than docking at any fairly large fleet base. Mr. Smith, the Prince, had spoken to security from his suite, she presumed in some code. She herself admitted the Royal Security Team, one technician in gray, the other in dress blues, a major commanding, who would escort the Prince down to the planet. No one seemed to expect any protocol from her that she didn't already understand. But when the Prince came into the lounge, Lady Cecilia was with him. Her maid followed, with a small travel case in her hand. The Prince's servants, behind the maid, filled the passage with luggage.
"I'm going with him."
Harris, who hadn't expected this, stared at her. Cecilia pulled herself to her full height and looked every millimeter the rich, titled lady she was.
"The Crown Minister gave me the responsibility."
"But, madam, we're Royal Security."
"Very well. Then you can make sure that I also reach groundside safely."
"But our orders were to take, Mr. Smith.
Your sacred charge, young man, is the personal safety, the life itself, of your prince. If you think I endanger it, you are sadly mistaken about the source of danger. I suggest you need to have a long talk with the Crown Council. I went out of my way, at my own expense, to bring this young man safely home from a life-threatening situation. It might be asked where you, the royal security, were when he was being shot at.
Shot at?
Harris wished Cecilia had not said so much. Clearly this man had not heard the whole story.
But he was on a training mission with the military guard.
Perhaps your superior will, if you prove discreet, tell you the whole truth later. Suffice it to say that my honor and my family's honor is involved in this, and I will witness Mr. Smith's delivery to his father myself. You will find that his father agrees, should you care to take it that far.
Yes, madam.
I will not require my maid's attendance, since I expect to travel directly to my brother's residence once I've spoken to the king. I am ready.
Cecilia glanced back to find Gerald and his luggage in the passage behind her, took her small case from her maid, and stepped forward. The royal shuttle eased into atmosphere with hardly a shiver in its silken ride. Four Royal Aerospace Service single-seaters flanked it, and another pair led it in. Cecilia divided her glances between the viewports. She had always liked watching Planetfall, and the security men who avoided meeting her gaze. She enjoyed the excellent snack a liveried waiter served her. The prince, she noticed, waved it away, and the security men drank only water. Two flitters waited on the landing field, both dark blue, both with the crown seal in gold and scarlet. Honor guards stood by both. Cecilia shook her head. It wasn't going to work. She would see to that. Sure enough, security steered the prince toward one flitter and attempted to lead her to the other. She strode on after the prince.
Gerald, wait a moment.
The prince paused and looked back almost blankly.
Yes, Lady Cecilia?
You're too fast for an old woman. Ronnie knows to slow down for me.
He smiled. She saw no malice in his smile, but no great intelligence either.
What went wrong? How can the king not know?
I'm sorry, I was just thinking of being home.
But, sir, we're supposed to take you home and Lady Cecilia to her...
I told you, I'm going with Gerald. It is a matter of honor.
Yes, it is, a matter of honor.
He held out his arm for her. Whatever had blunted his intelligence had not ruined his manners. Here she saw no sign of the hectic energy, the tension that had led him to such stupid outbreaks at Cerealis. Through the flitter ride, he sat quietly, not fidgeting, and when they arrived at the palace landing field, he gave her his arm again on the way in. Although she had believed Ronnie before, Cecilia found herself even more worried about the prince now.
So you see, I felt it necessary to come to you myself.
Cecilia watched the king's face for any reaction. He had offered her one of the scarlet and gold-striped chairs in his informal study, where she was both amused and delighted to see a picture of herself among the many others on one wall. It was one of her favorites, too, one the king had taken himself, just as her horse sailed over a big stone wall. The king looked tired. Rejuve had smoothed his skin, but he still had deep, discolored pouches beneath his eyes.
I'm glad you did. Do you have any idea how many other people have noticed?
I'm not sure.
Harris had warned her not to answer this question. Cecilia felt a warning flutter in her diaphragm. But this was the king. She had known him from boyhood. Surely she could trust him, though not his ministers.
I would guess that plenty of people know he can act like a silly young ass. But then so do many of them, my nephew Ronnie included.
It's a difficult question.
You did know something.
We knew something. But you will forgive me, it's not something I want to discuss.
Cecilia felt herself reddening. His tone irritated her. She was not some old busybody. Just because she hadn't accepted rejuvenation, he shouldn't assume her brain had turned to sand. It was this kind of attitude that made ageists out of people who simply didn't want rejuve.
I do appreciate your coming to tell me yourself. It was thoughtful of you. I know you won't spread this around. And you're right, we must do something soon. But at the moment, I'm not ready to discuss it outside of the family. In the meantime, let's talk about you. You have a new captain and crew for that yacht of yours, I understand, and you've infected the captain with your enthusiasm for horses.
Cecilia smiled back, well aware that she had no way to force him to confidences he didn't want to give. They chatted a few more minutes, then she took her leave. The king stared at the picture of Lady Cecilia he had taken. She was a good 15 years older than he, the adolescent who had admired her so openly, who had taken that picture and sent her a print with a letter whose gushing phrases he still recalled, had learned to mask his feelings, had almost learned to feel only what suited the political reality. She had not matured the same way. She still rode her enthusiasms as boldly as she had ridden horses. She said what she thought, and damn the consequences. She felt what she felt and didn't care who knew it. Immature, really. A slow comfort spread through him as he finally grasped the label that diminished her concern to a childish fretfulness, an undisciplined outburst of the sort he had long learned to forego. Deep inside, though, his mind nagged.
Oh, she's not stupid. She is not crazy. She's right.
But he smothered that nagging voice with ease. He had quit listening to his conscience a long time ago. Harris had plenty to do while waiting to hear from her employer, but she could not banish the chill she felt. She had to get all the crew properly identified for royal security. Not even Bunny's crewmen, who had been there before, and were only passing through on the way down planet, could leave the royal docks without a pass. Harris put them first in the identification queue, and within a few hours they were on their way down planet to Bunny's estate on Rockhouse. Then there was the usual post-docking business, arranging for tank exchange, for recharging depleted hydroponics vats, for lines to the station carbon exchange tanks, and water. It would be hours yet before Cecilia's shuttle would land, before she could reach the king, before whatever would happen could happen. But the knot in her belly remained. She barely picked at the delicious lunch the two cooks produced. Something would go wrong, she knew it. She just couldn't figure out what it would be. By the time Cecilia called, Harris had dug herself into a nest of clerical work. She had almost forgotten why she was so tense. Cecilia called up from the surface with such a cheerful, calm expression that Harris had to believe everything had gone well. She did not, on a commercial communications channel, mention the prince. Instead, she chattered about refitting.
"I've discussed matters with my family, and my sister has agreed not to be offended if I have Sweet Delight redecorated to fit my tastes instead of hers. It really was generous of her to do it before, but as you know, lavender and teal are not colors I'm fond of. We've had a dividend payout from some business, and I can easily afford to redo it. I'll be up in a few days. You'll have to move the ship to a refitting dock over on the far side of Major. At least, that's the one I'm leaning toward. Even though I didn't like the colors, they did do a good job last time. I'll bring the preliminary plans with me, and if you'd supervise..."
"Of course."
For a moment, her original estimate of rich old ladies resurfaced. How could she think only of redecoration at such a time? But something about Cecilia's eyes reassured her. Something else was going on than changing the color of carpet and upholstery.
"Have any idea how long it will take?"
"A few weeks last time. Presumably about the same this time, although restocking the solarium may take longer. I've missed my miniatures."
But, m'lady, you said you wanted to be at Zenebra for the horse trials."
"I know, but if I have a choice between missing the trials one time and living with that lavender for the weeks between here and there, and then however long it takes to get to refitting, I'm willing to miss the trials."
"Ah, I see. Very well, m'lady, as you ask. If you could tell me when to expect you back?"
"Not tomorrow or the next day. Perhaps the day after. I'll put a message on the board for you." I should be able to find my way from the shuttle dock to the ship by myself.
If you're going to delay for redecoration, m'lady, there are a few other equipment changes I'd like to suggest.
Quite all right. Whatever you want. This time, let's do it all, so there's nothing to worry about for years.
Harris wondered if she'd gotten a refund from Diklos and Sons. Or would it be the insurance? She wasn't sure just how the refitters would be made to pay for that fraudulent, almost fatal job they didn't do, but Cecilia could get solid credits out of them if anyone could. She somehow didn't believe in the dividend payout, not at this odd time of year. Cecilia probably didn't realize that mid-level officers could have investment experience, too. When Cecilia cut the link, Harris turned to Petrus and Oblo.
You heard that. You know what we need. Go find me the best deals on it, will you? I spent too much of her money buying those small arms on Cerealis.
Good weapons, though. Fancied up, but quality.
Well, now I want quality without any fancying up. Whatever's legal...
Legal? You mean not stolen?
I mean legal as in will pass inspection. All right. You know what I mean. Don't cause us trouble, but get us what we need.
Yes, sir.
Oblo saluted in the old way and retreated from her office. Petrus stayed.
Is Lady Cecilia all right?
I hope so. I don't think she half understands the danger she could be in.
Of course, if someone had to notice, Lady Cecilia de Matos is the safest. She's not a gossip like most of them.
The Crown Minister's sister sat motionless, demure in her long brocaded gown.
It's a nuisance, though. If she did take it into her head to mention it to someone, they might pay attention. Precisely because she's known to be no gossip. I wonder if that scamp Ronnie knows. The king didn't say.
If Ronnie knew, Cecilia would have told the king.
I suppose. He might not have told me, though. And the idiot didn't even record the conversation.
Only here, in this carefully shielded study, did the Crown Minister allow himself to speak of the king this way.
He said it would have been a breach of manners and trust. Said, of course, Lady Cecilia was loyal. And she is, I've no doubt.
But people said, I've no doubt, when their doubts were just surfacing. He knew that now. His sister had taught him, gently, over the years.
It must have been upsetting for her, and yet exciting, in a way. Of course, she worried. She has a warm heart under her gruff manner, as we all know. Look at the way she took on young Ronnie after his troubles. But at the same time, she's always thrived on excitement. To be the one who brings important news, even bad news, must have made her feel important. And it's been so long since she won any of those horse trials.
Well, but Lorenzo, she's over 80, and she won't take rejuvenation.
Quite so.
Lorenza studied her fingernails, exquisitely patterned in the latest marbleized silver and pale pink. Piercy would, in time, realize the problem and its necessary solution. He wasn't stupid. He just had the soft heart of a man whose every comfort had been arranged for years by a loving and very efficient sister. Ordinarily, she never intervened. She felt it was important for him to feel, as well as appear, independent of any influence from his family. She had her own life, her own social activities, which kept her out and about. But in this instance, she might do him a favor, indulge his soft-heartedness by taking on the task, not in this instance unpleasant at all, of removing the threat of Lady Cecilia de Marktos and her unbridled tongue.
You stupid old bitch! I always knew the time would come, and now you're mine!
Still smiling, she poured Piercy a cup of tea and admired the translucency of the cup, the aroma, the grace of her own hand.
Here you are.
She handed it to him. He smiled at her, approving. He had never seen her contempt for him. He never would. If necessary, he would die. But he would die still believing in her absolute devotion. That small kindness she had promised him. She promised none to Cecilia. Already her mind lingered on possibilities. Which would be best for her? Which would be worst for that arrogant, loud-mouthed old bitch who had humiliated her all those years ago? Piercy reached for a sandwich from the tray.
I can't believe you're not taking this more seriously.
Oh,
I do, Percy. But I know you and the king are quite competent to deal with any problems that might arise. Although perhaps I could keep my ear to the ground among the ladies.
Bless you, Lorenza. If there's any gossip, you'll hear it.
There won't be until they're all talking about what happened to poor dear Cecilia.
I want you to meet my captain, Harris Serrano. Lady Cecilia wore tawny silk, a flowing gown with a flared collar, low boots, and jewels Harris hadn't seen before. She had arrived at the shuttleport in high good humor and insisted that they go straight to the most prestigious of the yacht refitters. The man behind the desk of Space Enhance flicked Harris a glance.
Pleased, Captain Serrano.
She's my agent for this project. I have too much business groundside to be on call for the questions that always come up. I've told her what I want, and she knows the ship's capacity. You two settle everything and let me know when it's done.
Very well, m'lady, but we must have your authorization for credit.
Cecilia handed over her cube. Of course. Harris has my power of attorney if you need more. Harris was stunned. Did rich people typically give power of attorney to ship captains when they didn't want to be bothered?
Well, then, you're fortunate that you called when you did. We happen to have a slot open at the moment. Bay 458E, North Concourse. Do you have a storage company in mind, Captain Serrano, or shall I schedule removal and storage with one of our regulars?
Harris had no idea which storage company was reputable. She wished Cecilia had given her more warning of what to expect.
Schedule it, please. If you would just tell me what you require.
It's in our brochure. We do ask specifically that the owner remove all valuables, organic and inorganic, under private seal. We ourselves seal all electronics components. Depending on the owner's decisions, some service areas may be sealed off and left intact. Quite often owners choose to leave the galley and food storage bays the same.
Harris took the data cards and the hard copies. The cover of one, she noted, showed the Sweet Delight's earlier redecoration. Unless teal and lavender and spiky metal sculptures were everyone's taste. Let's have lunch at Shimo's. The last thing Harris wanted was a fancy meal at that most expensive and exclusive of Rockhouse major restaurants. If she was supposed to move the ship and prepare for storage of all the furniture and personal items, she needed to get back aboard. And where would the crew stay? But from the look on Cecilia's face, she would get no more information until her employer had some food. Shimo's was just what she feared. Fashionably dressed ladies of all ages, and a few obviously wealthy men, all tucked into intricate alcoves. Cecilia fussed over the menu far more than usual, and finally settled on what Harris thought of as typical ladies' luncheon fare. It was very unlike her. She waited, less patient than she seemed, for Cecilia to explain what was going on.
The crown is paying for it. It's my reward for bringing the prince home. That's why there's a berth open at Space Enhance.
Harris wondered why Cecilia had chosen this public place to talk about it. The alcoves had privacy shields, but she doubted they were effective against anything but the unaided ears of those in the next alcove.
I told them I didn't want a reward, but Council doesn't want an unpaid debt to my family right now. I'm not sure what's going on, but Ronnie's father isn't happy. Meanwhile, I'm undoing the damage done during the annual business meeting, changing my registered proxy, moving assets around. Nothing for you to worry about. I don't walk down dark alleys at night. I'm spending hours in business offices and then going home to my sister's townhouse.
But you don't have anyone with you.
Only lawyers, accountants, clerks, the odd section head, salespeople when I shop, and the entire staff of the house. And the family.
Milady, considering what Ronnie said about Mr. Smith, and if anyone should care if it's known you're the one most likely to have noticed, don't you think some precaution is warranted?
Cecilia looked thoughtful. Harris waited. In this place, where anyone might have heard what they said, she dared not press her argument.
I think not. And if I should fall dead of a heart attack, or even a street assault, I would prefer you consider that the natural end of a long, eventful life. I am, after all, over 80. All original parts, no rejuve. There is no advantage to be gained by killing me. I'm not political. For all that I grumbled about my proxy and made some changes, I have little to do with the family business, and they know it. I have no children whose plans would change were I a hostage. Besides, if, and I think it's unlikely, remember, if someone has designs on me, there's no way to tell without awaiting a move.
You could wear a tagger.
Detectable, is it not, by anyone with the right equipment? Which means that the very persons you most fear would be first to know, and, should they wish, disable it. That was true. Yet Harris was sure that Cecilia didn't realize her peril. She had lived her entire life in privilege, safely sheltered from any violence she didn't herself choose. That she had chosen a dangerous hobby still did not prepare her for attack. She could say she wasn't political, but what else could her report to the king be called?
You are coming back to the ship this afternoon, aren't you? Perhaps we can talk.
No. I think it best that I not come aboard right now.
But...
Captain Serrano, please, do this my way. I am not stupid, and I have my reasons. Did this mean she was worried about the Crown's response, or was something else going on? Harris couldn't tell, and she realized Cecilia was not about to discuss it. They finished the meal in near silence.
Captain Serrano?
Harris looked up. She had headed back to the yacht's berth, still concentrating on Lady Cecilia's odd behavior. Her hair, chopped short by some unpracticed hand, had once been honey gold, and her face might have been attractive before something cut a broad slash down one side. But it was the voice that stopped Harris in her tracks.
Methlin Meharry. Sergeant Meharry.
Petrus had not known what had happened to the women who'd been court-martialed, although he'd heard rumors. And none of them had contacted Harris after the amnesty Cecilia had arranged. Until now.
Didn't know if you'd remember.
She held herself with the same pride as always, but she wasn't in uniform, and Harris couldn't read her expression. Did she know that Harris hadn't known about the courts-martial? Or was she still as angry as Petrus had been?
Arcady Janice said you would.
Of course I do, but I was told you'd all been reinstated with back pay and all.
If they can screw us once, they can do it again. I've got 60 days to think about it, and what I think is I never want to see the inside of another fleet brig, thank you very much. Arcady said you were hiring?
Harris's mind scrambled. She couldn't hire everyone who had suffered on her behalf. Not even Cecilia had that much money, or that large a ship. But Meharry... An unusual set of specialties. She'd started with ground troops and gone on to shipboard weapons systems.
I need a weapons specialist, yes. Ideally someone who can do bodyguard work on stations or on planet. And ideally a woman, since Lady Cecilia's the one who'll need guarding. Was that what you wanted?
Sounds good to me. Anything would, after that. You know, Captain, we were upset with you.
So you should have been. I thought I was keeping you out of worse trouble, and all I did was take my protection away from you. Biggest mistake I ever made.
Not really, Captain. Biggest was being Bona Serrano, begging your pardon. I should know, given my family.
The Meharry family was almost as prominent in fleet enlisted ranks as the Serranos in the officer corps.
Families get your judgment all scrambled sometimes, but that's over with. Point is, I don't want to go back in, and if you trust me, I'll trust you. You're not a bad commander.
Harris almost laughed at the impudence. This was the perfect bodyguard for Lady Cecilia, if only she could persuade her employer.
Right. Why don't you come aboard and look at what we've got? You may not like a yacht once you've seen it.
Meharry grinned. The scar rippled on her cheek and gave her a raffish look.
Why not? It's built on a good hull, Arcady says, and you're giving it some teeth.
True, but not for publication. Come on then, and let's see what you think.
On one side of her mind, Harris thought how glad she was to be out of that ridiculous purple uniform. She could just imagine Meharry's reaction to that garish outfit. On the other side, she thought of the balance of her crew. With Methlin Meharry to back Arcady Janice, she would need only one more person to serve the ship's weapons in a short combat, the only kind she intended to be involved in. Ships the size of Sweet Delight didn't get into slugfests with other ships. Not if their captains had any sense.
But she wouldn't have to depend on Bunny's loans, even though they seemed happy enough to be with her. Yet, the ship was becoming more fleet with every change she made, and she wasn't sure Cecilia would like it. Back at the ship, Mahari grinned at Petrus and Oblo, who just happened to be lurking around the access tube.
Found her, did you?
Was I looking?
Harris had the feeling she'd been outmaneuvered by all of them, a feeling intensified when Arcadi happened to be in the passage between the bridge and the number 4 storage bay.
I hope you don't mind, Captain. I happen to see Mahari's name on a list of those returning from confinement.
Glad you did. And I remember you two worked well together. Why don't you show her around and let her find out if she wants to stay?
An hour later, on the bridge, Mahari and Janice were deep in consultation on the control systems of the weapons already installed. Harris motioned Petrus into her office.
Suppose you tell me just how many more little surprises you people have cooked up. I'm delighted about Mahari, but there's a limit, you know.
If we crewed entirely with former RSS personnel, we wouldn't have to worry about the official secrets people jumping on us.
Harris frowned. She was always wary when Petrus went indirect. It meant he was trying to outflank her somewhere.
Numbers. I'm not objecting to former fleet personnel, but I do need numbers.
I was going to ask you about that. What do you think we need for what Lady Cecilia's going up against? These smugglers, how likely are they to attack, with what force? What kind of protection do we need to be able to give her where she visits? Can't plan the necessary force until we know the mission.
I wish I knew. One of the things bothering me is lack of good information. I know there are information networks in the civilian world, but I haven't made my connections yet. And I'm used to having fleet intelligence to work with, bad as it sometimes was.
You might want to switch Oblo over from navigation to communications. Reorganize the roster that way and let him poke around. You know his talents.
Harris did indeed. They did not appear on any official list of occupational skills.
He wants to put in some, equipment he sort of found the other day.
Harris felt the hair rising on the back of her neck.
Found?
In a manner of speaking. In return for certain services. Good stuff. Navigational aids, communication enhancements. He'd like to put it in when no civilians, I mean, those who've always been, are aboard. Just in case.
She couldn't ask if it was stolen fleet equipment, not directly. Petrus would have to answer, and she'd have to do something about it. Or he'd have to lie, which would be another problem.
How much is it costing, Lady Cecilia?
Nothing. It's between Oblo and someone who wanted him to do something. A private donation, you might call it. Are you hiring Mahari?
If she wants to come. We need another weapons specialist.
Good. And how are you going to get hooked into the civilian network?
By checking in with the Captain's Guild. If that's a hint.
She'd spend some time browsing the general databases, too. Her understanding of politics had been limited to what impinged on the military, on funding, on procurement, on what the admirals optimistically called grand strategy. She'd never heard of some of the groups Cecilia and Ronnie had mentioned. Ageists? Rejuvenants? The meaning seemed obvious. But what did these groups actually do?